Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and all your demonic demons and render your powers null and void, and you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and we covenant with you. In the name of Jesus the Christ, the Anointing One, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, praise God. If you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Again, that's Hebrews, chapter 11. Last week, I began a new teaching on the title, We Must Know the Reality of the Word of God. Amen. So, if you found Hebrews 11, we're going to read our foundational scripture that we will be using for this particular teaching. So, Hebrews 11, verse 6. And it says, but without faith. Without what? Without faith. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. Now, I want to highlight something in this verse. It tells us, but without faith. It did not say without prayer. And it did not say without worship. And it did not say without going to church. But it said, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So, that should let us know that faith is the principal thing that we need to understand. Once you are born again, once you have been the new birth in Christ Jesus, then you must know how to walk by faith. There's no getting around it. Faith is the important thing. Therefore, I want to talk on the subject, the six principles of obtaining strong faith. The six principles of obtaining strong faith. Now, we began the teaching last week, and so I just want to continue where we left off. Now, we must know the reality of God's word. We must get God's word off that page of the Bible and down into our spirits. God's word won't do you any good while it's on the pages of the Bible. God's word must rise off the pages of the Bible and into your spirit, into your heart, before it would do you any good. It's not enough to have God's word on the page of the Bible. That won't do you any good in your everyday life. You have to get God's word off that page and into your spirit. You must know, and I repeat, you must know, not think it, but you must know the reality of God's word. Now, many Christians that I have come into contact with on a day and week by week basis, when you begin to speak to them, you can locate them by their words. They begin to talk right away, and I can analyze them, and I can tell what their problem is. They do not know the reality of God's word. They believe God's word. Don't misunderstand me. They believe it. They believe in the Bible. They believe the Bible is God's word, but they don't know the reality of God's word in their lives because they never acted upon God's word. They have never lived in God's word. They just know it is something that sits on the mantelpiece or on the coffee table or on the nightstand beside the bed. But the word says, stay inside the book, enclosed within those two covers. You have to get the word out of the Bible and into you. You have to get it off the pages and into your spirit, man. God's word has to get out from between those two leather covers and into your spirit. You have to come to know God's word as a living reality. Amen. Let me repeat that. You have to come to know God's word as a living reality. God's word is alive. It's not dead. We serve the only true and living God. Too many Christians are trying to educate their minds first and then let their minds educate their spirits. That is not the way God works. God works through the spirit of man. When man's spirit is brought into right relationships with God, and when man's spirit feeds properly on the word of God, then man's spirit will educate man's mind, and man's mind will bring man's body into subjection to the will of God. Amen. Let me repeat that. Too many Christians are trying to educate their minds first and then let their minds educate their spirits. But that is not the way God works. God works through the spirit of man. When a man's spirit is brought into right relationships with God. And when man's spirit is fed properly on the Word of God, then man's spirit will educate man's mind, and man's mind will bring man's body into subjection to the will of God. Amen. The Word of God is a living thing. It's not dead. It is a living organism. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And let's read verse number 12. And it says this: For the word of God is living. Is what? Is living, not dead. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Amen. Here we have a very illuminating statement, and it has a divine revelation about a truth that cannot be understood with the human intellect. It is a truth that must be received by your spirit. It must be believed in your spirit. Not when it gets in your spirit, it will educate your mind. Let me repeat that. It is a truth that must be received by your spirit. It must be believed in your spirit. Then, when it gets in your spirit, it will educate your mind. You know, in the King James Version of the Bible, the word quick is a very elusive word to us, and we don't really comprehend what it means. But in the Greek language in which the New Testament was originally written, the word quick means to make alive. It means to make alive. It doesn't mean fast as we think in our English language. Now, James Moffat's New Testament translation of that same chapter and verse, Hebrews 4:12, it says it like this: For the Logos of God is a living thing. For the Logos, or the Word of God, is a living thing. Now, that's from James Moffat, New Testament translation. God's Word, and we have to understand that as Christians, that God's Word is alive. Now, it may be dead to you, but that's your problem. God's Word is alive, and it will do exactly what God sent it to do. But until it becomes a living reality to you, it won't do you any good. It may be true, but it won't do you any personal good until you get it inside you. Amen. The Word of God, and let me repeat this, the Word of God is a living thing, which means it can impart life. It can impart life. Living things perpetuate life. Living things have within them the ability and the potentiality to reproduce life. When something is dead, it doesn't give birth to life per se, but when something is alive, it has a capability to impart life. God's Word can impart to us spiritual life because the Word is alive. Amen. Now, see, too many Christians have very little respect for the reality of the living Word of God. They just have little respect for it. Sure, they believe it, but they don't act on it. If they really did, every time the doors of the church were open, it would be packed and jammed. For you know that God's word says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some, found in Hebrews 10:25. Matter of fact, we just did a teaching on not us forsaking the assembly of ourselves. We as Christians, we are commanded by God to assemble together where we can worship and fellowship under the banner of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? Because that word is alive. That's why we to come together. It is alive. And it gives us instruction and training in righteousness. You should be asking yourself, is God's word alive in me? That's the question that should be posed to each one of us. Is God's word alive in me? If the answer is no, then you need to reevaluate your position with Christ. Until it does become alive in you, you will never, and I repeat, you will never have strong faith. You will not be able to exercise strong faith. Your faith will be weak. Your faith, strength-wise, will be like a little baby, weak, helpless, and totally dependent upon someone else's. Christians come to Dr. Michelle and me wanting us to pray for them and with them. They think that Dr. Michelle and I have some type of super magic power that God's not going to answer anybody else's prayer but ours. First, we are not that selfish that we would want God to only answer our prayers. And secondly, God does not operate like that. For he is not a respecter of people. If God did operate like that, he would be a liar. Because he is not a respecter person. What he does for one, he's obligated by his word. Amen. To do for another, all things being equal. Amen. He is your father too. Jesus is your savior also. He is your Lord. I want you to get to the point where you will begin to believe in the reality of God's word and then act upon it. Amen. You should not want to be a baby in regards to God's word. You should not be dependent upon anybody in this world. Now, Dr. Michelle and I are not going to be dependent upon anybody. I have learned that the only person you can truly depend on in this world is God. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me. There are people that do things for me and for us. And certainly, I have to look to people to do things. But my faith and my final gratification is not in those people. I look beyond them and I see God. I trust God. I don't believe or don't trust people to pay my wages. Yes, the money has to come through human hands. In Luke chapter 6, please go there. Luke chapter 6. And please go to verse 38. The Bible tells us, and Jesus is speaking, and he says this. It says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and run over. Shall men give unto your bosom? The money comes through the hands of men. We know that. But I don't look to people as the source. I don't depend as a pastor upon whether or not we have a big crowd as to whether or not I get a paycheck, or whether or not how I preach or teach. Amen. I get my money because the bank of heaven, amen, is sovereign. Glory to God. I get it because God will see to it. Amen. If only one people gets on our teleconferencing service Sunday morning call, I still get my money because I am looking to God. God is alive, but it is alive in you. Amen. God's word, let me repeat that. God's word is alive, but is it alive in you? That's the question. Is it alive in you? At times, we really don't have the appreciation for the word of God that we should. People use the cop-out that the Bible was written by men. Who told you that lie? Unless you were there when it was written, you are barking up the wrong tree. Amen. You are barking up the wrong tree. Were any of you guys here when the Constitution was written? Well, then how do you know what those men were thinking when they wrote the Constitution? You don't know. You weren't there. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 16 through 17, saying that the Bible was written by men. Well, let's see what the Word of God says. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete. Now, the original King James says perfect, which means spiritually mature, so that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good works. Amen. Amen. The man of God can be mature and complete, thoroughly equipped for every good works. Now, the word in this scripture, I want you to understand, there is a word. The word scripture is another word for Bible. Word of God, or holy book, and those words are synonymous. Let me repeat that. The word scripture is another word for Bible. Word of God or holy book, those words are synonymous. Now let's look at verse 17 of that same verse, 2 Timothy 3, 16. And let's notice it says that the man of God, not the man of the world, but God is talking about the man of God. Amen. May be thoroughly equipped. Amen. May be complete, which means fully or spiritually mature. It does not mean flawlessness, but spiritually mature, being fully grown in spiritual matters. That the man of God may be complete or spiritually mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I don't believe God puts, now I want to say something, because it says furnished unto all good works. Now I don't believe God puts adjectives in his word for no reason. Now notice he uses the word good in this verse to describe the noun works, to let us know that there could be bad works. Amen. It could be bad works. And that's what the worldly people are doing. They're doing bad works. But our Heavenly Father wants only good works produced in His children. Amen. In our lives, He wants us to be spiritually mature for every good works. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Bible is God's inspired word. It is a living book. It is alive. It is alive. Now, I want you to repeat after me. The Bible is God's inspired word. It is a living book. It is alive. Amen. Well, you know what, family? Again, there's nothing that we can do about time because time marches on. But I want you to join us next week where we will continue our teaching on the six principles of obtaining strong faith. But until then, please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.